All right, guys, welcome back to Return on Podcast and to the Seller Accountant YouTube page. I'm Tyler Jeffcoat. And guys, this is the final kind of planned installment of the KPI month that we've been doing here in January. And I want to just say thank you. Thank you for consuming this content. Thank you for using these metrics and KPIs to improve the understanding of your business. In the first week, we talked about PAG, the post-advertising gross profit, the true gross profit of your products and of your portfolio. You can't run an e-commerce business successfully without understanding what your PAG is. If you haven't watched that video, go back and check it out or listen to that episode. The second KPI that we really unpacked here was called CAL, C-A-L. You want a low CAL diet, right? We were talking about how important it is to have a low cost of goods sold plus advertising load. So COGS plus ads load, C-A-L, CAL. Is a measure of how powerful our brand is. I gave you some really concrete examples and some thoughts on how you might, you know, take effect on that if you are having issues with your cow. Go back and watch that video. And now today, as is the case with any series, we've got to dive into the deep end of the pool when it comes to CFO work and managing profitability and understanding our catalog the way the best 7, 8, 9-figure brands out there are managing it. So we're going to talk about a concept that's my pet. I've been talking about this for years. It's called return on working capital. I want to use a couple of illustrations to try to help you kind of internalize and understand the concept of return on working capital. Then I'm going to walk you through, for those of you who are watching YouTube, I'm going to give you a couple of screenshots to show you how this works practically. And then I'm going to share a resource with you that you can, you know, if you want to geek out on understanding the theory behind this more, I'm going to give you a resource for that. So let's dive right in. It's time to maximize profitability and cash flow. It's time to learn habits and hacks from the best e-com CEOs. It's time for Return on Podcast with me, Tyler Jeffcoat. So let's dive right in. First illustration. Imagine that you're a baseball player or that you're a baseball fan here. The way baseball works as a hitter, in case you guys are not baseball fans, is that your batting average is your expected success rate when you step up to the plate, right? If I have a really high batting average, that means that I'm going to get hits really often. If I have a really low batting average, it means I'm not a very good hitter and my expected success rate for each at bat is really low. Makes sense. So if I have a batter with a average, but I can get him 10 at-bats, I still am going to eventually have a success. Tyler's going to strike out. Tyler's going to hit a ground ball out. Tyler's going to get out. He's going to get out. He's going to get out. But eventually, if I can give that crappy hitter, Tyler, enough at-bats, he will finally get a hit because his batting average isn't zero. He has some success rate. And so the illustration to connect this to our e-commerce business is that it's the exact same way for our products. If our products have a low PAG, remember that profitability number we talked about 2 weeks ago? If we have a low PAG, but we have an outrageously fast cash cycle, we get to reuse by the way, we call this turning inventory, but we get to reuse that dollar not just once a year, not just twice a year, not just three times a year, but maybe 5, 6, 7 times a year. Even though the impact of each at bat might be relatively small, got a low batting average, we actually have a very good product because we have such strong cash velocity. Okay. The second illustration I'm going to try to use to try to drive this point home is if we think about real estate, right? If you and I bought a piece of real estate on the corner of your town and we leased it out to a tenant, and at the end of the year, we made $1 million in profit on that investment, we would not know how happy we are with that investment until we understand what we had to invest. In other words, real estate pros never look at profit in a vacuum. They always look at return on investment. You know, think about our investment. If we only invested $1 million and we got $1 million profit in 1 year, you and I are going to be ecstatic. We will have had a very strong return on investment. But if you and I invested in a real estate venture on the corner of your town and we paid $100 million to buy that building and we only got $1 million in profit, we're not nearly as happy. In fact, we might be outright sad about that investment. So again, those are the two paradigms that I want to kind of share with you. Your products are just like that. So let me apply the second one here. If you get a certain amount of profit, a certain amount of happiness from your portfolio in the course of a 12-month period, you don't know how happy you are with that until you actually do a return on investment calc. Profit for the year divided by what my inventory investment is. And so that brings us to our metric for the day. Our metric is called return on working capital. For a 12-month period, I invested a certain amount of money in inventory. What was the annual ROI, the annual return on that investment? Let me show you the math here, and then I'll be able to bring back the baseball side of this so it makes more sense. If I take a standard kind of common e-commerce brand P&L here, this guy made a PAG or post-advertising gross profit of 25%. That's nice. And then I want to look a little further. Now I got to start digging into the balance sheet. I want to understand, first of all, I want to kind of calculate his batting average. If I take profit, sorry, I don't have a video for return on inventory investment this time. I have an old one. But if I take my profit divided by the COGS to generate that exact profit, I can calculate my batting average, which was how successful was I on this turn of the inventory. I invested it into my supplier, I got the inventory, and I got my cash back when I finally sold it. How happy am I this at bat? Batting average for the example on the screen here is an 83% return on inventory investment. Pretty good. That's not bad. But now I should compare that return on inventory investment to how many turns of inventory I had per year. So again, I'm going to start with the baseball because, by the way, the algebra works two different ways. So I'm kind of sharing this concept with you two ways so that you can choose which math problem you want to do. If I know my batting average, which is return on inventory investment, and I can multiply that times the number of at-bats I get per year, that means how many times I turn my inventory per year, that gives me a metric called return on working capital. In the example on the screen, he had an annual return on capital of 4.1. So the algebra could be batting average times turns. The same algebra could occur if I just take total profit for the 12 months divided by the amount of cash I have tied up in inventory. Guess what? It's algebra. It works out the same way. That still yields the same 4.17 return on capital. And if you're not watching this, like if you're listening to this on the podcast, don't worry about the exact numbers. Just know there are two algebraic formulas that give you the same result. And that same result answers the question, how happy was I with the investments I made last month or last year? What's really important about this, guys, is that you are equally likely to be able to improve your business if you improve your profitability or if you improve your cash velocity. Now, I want to say that again. This is really, really important. This is the point of this. This metric shouldn't have to exist except for this point right here. If my product has a certain profit margin, let's say the PAG is 20%, I could improve my happiness by getting that profit number from 20% up to 25%. That would be great. I would be happy. Maybe I have a lower ad budget or I raise my prices or Amazon gives me a break on fees, which they never do, right? There are lots of things I can do to make my batting average better, improve that profitability. But I may also be happier if I just accelerate how quickly I turn my units. Here's a real practical downside to this. I don't want you guys to sit on 3 or 4 years of inventory. I don't want you to sit on 2 years of inventory because that cash is tied up in that investment for so long that your annual return on that investment is going to be garbage. It is not going to be very good. And so if you look at your business and you're like, well, my profitability is decent, but my return on working capital, Tyler, is garbage. Why is it garbage? Oh, I have really, really low inventory turns. I'm only turning my cash once a year. Then if I were you, I would respectfully dust off your passport, fly to your suppliers if they're in China or if they're in the States here, go to your suppliers here in the States, have dinner, spend time, drink sake, kiss babies, invest in those relationships because you need to fix your cash cycle. I want to have lower MOQ so I don't have to order as much. I want to delay when I have to pay for those orders so that I get to keep my precious money longer. And then I want to liquidate the crappy SKUs that are on my portfolio that have not been able to be nurtured. I tried to nurture them, but now it's time to liquidate them because I can't afford to keep that cash tied up in a bad investment. So I want to kind of end this video and this episode with this. If you want to get into the technical bits of it, you know, reach out to me. I'm happy to help you with this as deep as you possibly could want to go. I can go very deep with this, but let me give you practical thought and then I'm going to give you a tool you could read to learn more. Practical thought. If I want to get happier, I could either improve my profitability or I could improve the speed with which cash flows through my business. Every dollar that I get to hoard longer, I don't want to have to pay my suppliers as quickly. I want to turn the inventory more quickly. Every dollar I can hoard is a dollar I don't have to go reborrow. I get to already have that dollar. I get to use it again. I get another at bat and another at bat and another at bat. Just know that I can improve my business with both of those. So that's the one thing I want you to grab. If you want to learn more about the theory behind this, there was a famous economist about 20 years ago. His name was Eli Goldratt, Israeli genius. He came up with this thing called the theory of constraints. So if you're like, Tyler, I get this. This kind of makes sense to me, but it's a really confusing concept to wrap my head around. I highly recommend reading Eli Goldratt's book. It's called The Goal. It's kind of a parable. It's kind of dated. It will blow your mind in terms of reorienting your thinking around return on investment and throughput instead of just counting raw widgets or raw profit margin, because we don't know how happy we are until we know what we invested to get that profit. Until we meet next time, I hope this made sense to you. I hope you'll post comments. I hope you'll ping me with questions because, man, this is a confusing concept that I've been chewing on now for 5 years and I'm just now understanding. You've got to find ways to apply this to your business. Seller Accountant helps a lot of our clients apply this very metric to their catalogs, to their individual SKUs, and to their entire portfolio. So, cheers. Talk to you guys later.